Excision number 12278, reel 1.
Captain Jewel, reel 1. Could you tell me where you were born, please?
In the Seychelles.
How did that come about?
My father was the principal medical officer for the Seychelles and deputy governor.
And which year was this?
1913. He was there from 1910 to the outbreak of the First World War.
Where were you educated?
First, I suppose, in Kenya, where we moved in 1914. The family moved when I was 1 year old. And then when we came home, I went to a prep school at St. Piran's in Maidenhead at the age of 5. And from there to Arundel, and from there to the Navy.
What made you decide to go in for a naval career?
I'd decided that, apparently, with almost my first words, according to my mother.
What did you think of the training that you got at Dartmouth?
No, special entry from Arundel. Having failed Dartmouth, because I was sent to the examination with an English-Latin dictionary instead of the Latin-English one, which was required. So I didn't do very well in Latin, which was a required subject.
What was your first ship?
I was trained in the Erebus, and from the Erebus I went to the Revenge in the Mediterranean.
When would that have been?
1932, I think.
And when did you leave the Revenge?
Well, I was the Revenge for about a year, and then I went to Devonshire. And from Devonshire came home to do sub-lieutenant's courses at Greenwich.
Were you involved in any of the conflicts in the interwar period, such as the Spanish Civil War?
Only from sailing past it, not because the fleet took practically no part in it at all.
How did you come to be in the submarine service?
Well, when at the end of the courses, at sub-lieutenant's courses, there was a loss of a submarine off the Channel Islands with all hands, and there were no volunteers. So the course that came after it were all we were all told to go into submarines.
So you had no choice?
We had no choice.
How did you react to that?
Well, it's just another thing to do with it. I don't think there was any very much reaction to it.
Then what special training did you have to have for submarines?
At Dolphin, just finding out how submarines worked, and a little bit of extra electrics, I think. I don't think there was very much more to it than that.
When were you at Dolphin? Can you recollect?
1935, I think, as near as...
What were you doing when war broke out?
Well, just before war broke out, I was in a reserve group of submarines which were in the dockyard. There's one, the group consisted of 8 submarines, which we took out one at a time. There's one crew for the whole 8. So they were taken out in turn to be exercised at sea. Then came August, I think, of 1939. The reserve fleet was called up, and our one crew was split between the eight, and officers and ratings came in from reserve, from the naval reserve, to man these submarines. Then there was the King reviewed the fleet at Portland. We then went on a 10-day exercise in the North Sea, and then having finished that, we came back to Dolphin, and there we prepared for war. And then about 7 days, 5 days I think, before war broke out, the Osiris that I was in sailed for the Mediterranean.
HMS Osiris?
Yes.
What position did you hold in Osiris?
I was the third officer.
Can you tell me about the submarine?
Well, it was just no-class submarine, without anything much extra to it.
And what did the duties of a third officer in a submarine at that time involve?
Watchkeeping. Secretary. And I don't think very much else. Looking after personnel, of course. And part of the crew to look after.
How efficient was the crew at that time?
Well, after our workup, I think we were pretty good, actually. Preparing for war, it all went very smoothly. Finished up by inoculating and vaccinating and everything else before we set off for the Mediterranean. And we had no problems going out. We arrived at Gibraltar the day before war broke out. We left Gibraltar on the morning the war broke out, and we received the signal to say that we were at war with Germany about a couple of hours after we left Gibraltar.
What was the mood aboard ship when you received that news?
We were we were really rather worried to know what we ought to do. Here were we on the way to Malta, having gone out. The captain then decided that we ought to dive and get out of sight, and then we thought a little further and decided that there wasn't really much point, because there wasn't going to be any German vessel, or wasn't likely to be any German vessel in that part of the Mediterranean waiting to see who came through. So he surfaced again and pressed on for Malta.
Who was the captain?
He was Lieutenant Commander Sheridan Patterson.
What did you feel at that time, if you can recollect, about Britain's prospects against Germany in the war?
I think we thought we'd have a struggle. I had actually been in the submarine lying alongside the depot ship in Gibraltar about a year before, when a German, they'd been out with the Mediterranean fleet to do combined exercises with the home fleet, and a German submarine actually came alongside us, and they seemed very pleasant people. They didn't they joined in very well with everything, but we weren't impressed with their submarine at that time.
What was there about it that didn't impress you?
Well, it seemed very much the same as ours were, except the less, I think, bulkheads than we had.
But presumably you felt confident about your own efficiency.
Yes, I think so. I'm very confident about our own efficiency. We'd had done in the submarine flotilla in the Mediterranean just before the war. We'd had he was Captain Rutkeen at the time, who had been preaching to us that war was coming in 1939. And we had worked up for war in the Mediterranean. We had a good idea of what war was going to be. Up to the time that he came, we weren't even allowed to dive at night. But he insisted that we did night exercises with the fleet. And we were really prepared for war, I think.
So I interrupted you with you talking about Osiris making its way eastwards across the Mediterranean on the day that war broke out.
Yeah. Well, we just went on the surface from there to Malta, where we again had another sort of work-up period, work-up patrol, which didn't really mean very much because the Italians were not in the war, and I think our patrol was somewhere off the in the Adriatic coast, and we came back to Malta, and then I was, just before Christmas, I was sent back home again. I arrived back home on Christmas Eve in 1939, and got back to my parents. And on arrival at my parents' home, I got a telephone message from the Admiralty telling me I was to go back to Gibraltar. I complained a little and said, well, thought I ought to be allowed to spend Christmas with my family, and I left again on Boxing Day to join up with a frigate sailing for Gibraltar. And when I arrived in Gibraltar, I took over Submarine Otway as first lieutenant from Wanklyn.
Submarine what?
Otway.
O-T-W-A-Y.
Yeah.
Did Wanklyn have reputation in the Navy at that time?
No, none at all. Very easygoing, very quiet, completely controlled person.
Did you know him well?
Well, he'd been in the same submarine flotilla for, I think, 3 years with me, 2 years anyway.
How did the Otway compare with the Osiris?
Well, it's very much the same. And Otway was one of three submarines done for the Australian Navy, sold to the Australian Navy. They were slightly different from the Osiris class. Very slightly different.
And the... How did your brother officers compare in the Otway as compared with the Osiris?
I think they were all very much the same.
What duties did the Otway undertake?
Very, very shortly after I'd been... Well, the time I joined, we were really giving exercises to destroyers coming through anti-submarine experience or destroyers passing through the Straits of Gibraltar. Then very shortly after that, we came back home to the United Kingdom to be the commanding officer qualifying course, submarine commanding officer's qualifying course, submarine. And we operated from Portsmouth here.
How did you find the caliber of anti-submarine hunting of the destroyers at that time when you were giving them this practice?
I don't think it was any different from before the war, in fact. And the submarine goes along underneath, and every now and then you are found by the surface ships. I don't think the incidence of being discovered rose by very much, if at all.
What kind of crew did you have on the Otway in terms of experience and origins of the...
Well, they'd all been, even those who'd been called up from the reserve fleet were ex-submarine personnel, so they, you know, got back to their normal working state after all the submarines had been there for... Otway class were already about 15, 20 years old when war broke out. So that, you know, they knew perfectly well what they were doing. There was no new equipment for them to get used to.
What happened next to you?
To me?
Yes.
Well, Otway, when at the time of Dunkirk, we were sent out from Dolphin to patrol off the beaches, and really I can't think why anybody ever sent us there, because we were only an embarrassment, I think, to ourselves and probably to the surface ships which were going to take people off the beaches.
Why were you an embarrassment?
Well, I think a submarine would be dived during the day, because we wouldn't have stayed on the surface the whole time, and if picked up by a destroyer going towards the shore, they'd then think they had to go off and start attacking. And at night time, all we ever saw was an E-boat, I think, in the water. From there we went to Devonport, and while we were in Devonport the Surcouf came in and to hand itself over and join up with us. They then had a mutiny on board. Being the only British submarine, I think, in Devonport at the time, we had to send a crew to take it over, which we did.
Were you in the party?
No, I wasn't in the party. The third officer of the party went then. I can't remember his name now. With an armed troop with him. And he took over the thing, which was then taken out of our hands and looked after by the personnel from Devonport.
Did he tell you what had happened?
Very little, actually. Nobody fired a shot, and they gave up very quickly.
What was the mutiny about?
I think a few of the crew didn't want to turn themselves over to our side. They wanted to go back home, I think that's all it is.
Did you see any of the Frenchmen?
Myself, no, not at that time.
That would have been in the summer of 1940, of course.
That's in 1940. From there, we moved up to Rotsay to open a submarine base up there for commanding officer qualifying courses again. And we were joined a couple of months afterwards, I think, by Cyclops depot ship, who came round from the East Coast to become the depot ship in Rotsay. There I stayed I think until about Christmas, when I was appointed to Truant. I can't actually remember the date of joining Truant.
So you missed all the bombing up there?
I don't think we had any bombing in Ross. In fact, I'm sure we hadn't while I was there. In fact, I don't think Ross had any bombing at all during the war. We were very free. In Truant, we set off from Chatham, where the submarine had been repaired just before I joined. They'd completed a refit and had been sent with two platoons of soldiers to go to Norway, and two torpedoes had fallen out from the front tubes and had gone off under the submarine and damaged the batteries, so they'd had to go back to Chatham to be refitted. And the first lieutenant of Truant and the captain, I think, were changed at that time, and I went as first lieutenant, and the captain, Haggard, was appointed as the captain. And then we were sent off towards the Mediterranean. We sailed round the north of Scotland, down through the Irish Sea, and just as we got into the Bay of Biscay, we sighted two merchant ships going towards Bordeaux, and we surfaced to stop these. And as we surfaced, the sides were, the ships were blown out. These were two ships who had been taken by the Graf Spee and were on their way to Bordeaux with their cargoes to be put ashore, and personnel who had been taken off other ships by Graf Spee and to be interned in Germany. And they took to the boats, and we had a very crowded submarine with our own and Norwegian and Swedish personnel. The German personnel we left in the boats and asked for them to be picked up, which they were, by Sunderland aircraft later on after we'd left.
This was in January 41, was it?
I'm not sure whether it was January, but it was early in 1941.
How many do you think you had on board, approximately?
20, 30, something for me. One of the captains had been on board a Norwegian ship when the ship was taken over.
What condition were they in?
Oh, they were all very healthy, I think. Unfortunately, the Norwegian woman actually had dropped her bag over the side, and she jumped after it and to collect it, and she was soaking wet when she came on board. And the only real discomfort was we had to move the captain out of his cabin so to let her have it to change and to live in until we got to Gibraltar.
So you sank the two German ships?
They sank themselves. And the sides were blown out by the Germans. They'd been, I
scuttled.
Suppose, scuttled. They'd been prepared to do that. We had nothing to... We did nothing towards this.
What was the demeanour of the Germans in the boats?
They were a little upset by not being picked up or by the submarine, but they were picked up immediately afterwards, by, as I say, by two Schäferhorn aircraft.
What was...
Not Shetland, whatever the ones that, flying boats were...
Sunderland's,
I mean, yes.
What was Haggard like to work for?
I find him very good. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Truant.
And this was your first time in action?
Pretty well, yes.
And this was in the Bay of Biscay, you said?
In the Bay of Biscay, yeah.
Under what weather conditions?
Pretty nearly flat calm.
So where did you take the prisoners to?
We didn't take them. The Sunderland aircraft took them away. The rest of the Norwegians and Swedes came with us to Gibraltar, where they were landed and looked after by their own people in Gibraltar.
Yes, I meant the ex-prisoners of the Germans. Then what happened to you?
Well, then we went on from Gibraltar to Malta. We did one patrol from Gibraltar, which took us to the Bay of Naples, where we shot up, as far as I remember, we shot up one train, and we saw one night, shortly after we surfaced, the ship was sighted, was completely darkened, and we used the recognition signal, which wasn't replied to, and we fired two torpedoes at it, and it exploded, and within seconds all that was left was a small burning patch on the surface of the water.
Where was that?
Just off the Bay of Naples.
And how long after the Bay of Biscay incident would that have been?
It was our next patrol, as far as I remember. Our first patrol in the Mediterranean from Gibraltar.
So still early 1941?
Well, yeah. After which we went back to Malta, and from Malta did a patrol we did another patrol off Italy, I think, first. I'm not absolutely sure on that, and then one in the Adriatic, which finished up by being told to go off the Tripoli coast, and from there we went to Alexandria, and shortly after arriving in Alexandria my back gave way, and I was